Hi friends, this episode of the Darla of Dork podcast will be about an episode of another podcast. So there will be spoilers, and if you don't care, just keep listening. However, if you'd like to listen to the reference podcast first, I'm going to put a direct link to it in the show notes. If you'd like to find it on your favorite podcast player, look up True Crime Historian. That's True Crime Historian. And you want to look for the episode dated August 12th, 2020. And it is episode number 406, called The Perth Ballroom Tragedy. True Crime Historian Podcast is hosted and produced, executively, evidently, by Richard O. Jones via Popular Media. Welcome back. Now, to me, what makes this case so interesting is that it was a case in which the defense attorney for Audrey Jacobs really did a character assassination job on the victim, Cyril Gidley. The character assassination was done in the press. Now, Audrey's attorney was Arthur Haynes, and Haynes was a very clever man. He was also a good buddy of the staff at the newspaper. He was known to visit nearly every day. The newspaper staff pretty much treated what Haynes said almost like it was evidence. And I have to say, well, how could people be so dumb? But it even worked on me as I listened to the news accounts in the True Crime Historian podcast. I was really thinking that Cyril Gidley deserved to be shot. Kind of like if you act that way, you deserve what you get. Although I did feel it was wrong for her, Audrey, to try to take the law into her own hands or to get justice for herself against this man who had taken advantage of her. What's incredible is that hundreds of people even saw the shooting. It isn't in doubt about whether Audrey shot him or not. What was in doubt was it murder? Because she was on trial for what they called willful murder. And it was a trial in the Supreme Court, so I'm sure it was a life, you know, a death penalty kind of case. And Audrey's family was presented as a very respectable family, and that Cyril Gidley was an evil Englishman, because, you know, keep in mind, this is in Australia. So Cyril was this nasty Englishman who had tricked her by giving her an engagement ring, possibly raped her, and they accused the dead man of basically doing the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am number on her. And that he had toyed with her, and now he was on to another woman and doing the same thing. But the truth was that Audrey's family was just an ordinary family, but her father worked in the government office that did the documents for divorce. And it was said around that he kind of flirted with the newly divorced women. Because in 1925, the divorcees would have been considered, it was such a negative thing towards a woman that the woman was considered hot to trot, you know, that they were horny and it was just a stereotype. And he would flirt with them a lot. And, but that stereotype isn't common today, except in parts of the world, probably where you can marry your own goat. But, you know, now we know better, but you know, back then, he was known to be that kind of a, that her father was kind of a sleazeball, I guess you'd say. And, there were breakups between her parents where her father would leave the house for a while, things like that. But in the press, that family, none of that kind of thing was ever portrayed. She was a very good girl from a very good family, but in the official records, there were things like that Audrey had visited Cyril's ship, and she would visit a lot of the sailors on the ship, which, of course, that didn't get out in the press, because, you know, and that looks kind of loose, actually. A young lady who's not married to anybody on the ship, going on the ship and visiting with sailors. So, of course, that never got out. And Cyril had documented that, that she had gone on board his ship and that she had threatened his life after he broke off their engagement. And it was shortly after that, I think it was about 2 weeks after that, he made a will. It was 2 weeks before his death, he made a will. And so, although he didn't go around telling everybody that she had threatened his life, it's pretty clear that he took that threat seriously, because normally a 25-year-old guy doesn't make out a will. So, when you look at things as evidence, you can see that it seems like maybe she was very sensitive to rejection, and she very clearly, you know, said that she took the gun, she took this little handgun that her former fiancé had given her, and that she had wrapped it in her scarf, and she took it to the ball. And she tapped Cyril on the shoulder with her left hand, and in her right hand she had the gun wrapped up in her scarf. And she tried to claim, you know, she had totally forgotten that it was in her scarf. I don't know, very, very strange. You know, these days you would do, there would be tests on how many pounds of pressure that it takes to pull the trigger on a certain gun. You know, then, as far as I know, they didn't have such a thing. So Audrey was claiming she didn't know how it had gone off. And she was trying to claim that, yes, she was angry at him and this and that, but it had gone off by accident. Now, I wonder if maybe she meant to hurt him because she wanted him to pay attention to her. But she shot him and severed his aorta. So really there wasn't, even though there was a doctor in the ballroom, there wasn't really anything he could do. So I don't know if she really meant to really kill him, if she just wanted to lash out. I don't know. It's very strange. Like, she had first shown up to the ball in an outfit. Like, her friend had an outfit of Pierrot, the clown. They were, like, two clowns, one in black and one in white, like some kind of French clown outfits. And she showed up in that outfit, and then she saw Cyril was there, and I think she didn't expect that he was going to be there. So she's kind of mortified that he's seeing her in a less than beautiful way. So she went home and changed her clothes and put on this ball gown, and that's when she took the gun wrapped in a scarf and went back. So apparently maybe her plan was, you know, if he gave her attention, then fine. But she tapped him on the arm and he said, "Excuse me, I'm dancing." And so she felt so rebuffed or so embarrassed by that, that then she shot him. But I think she, you know, maybe she intended to shoot him if things didn't go her way. But if things did go her way, she wasn't going to shoot him. Well, the way I look at it, her taking the gun with her sounds premeditated. She never said anything about she was going to walk back to the ballroom and she wanted the gun for protection because, for some reason, that she was afraid while walking or somebody had said something to her that scared her. She didn't have any defense like that. There was no explanation, if I recall, about why she took the gun. So that certainly sounds premeditated. The other thing is that we also know that Cyril documented that Audrey threatened to kill him. Also, Cyril had made a will after Audrey threatened him and about 2 weeks before he died. And it's not really common for a 25-year-old man with no children, no wife, to make a will. And then we also know it's not in question if she had shot him because everybody saw her do it. But the question was it murder? Well, to me, it looks like there's enough premeditated stuff here to see it as murder. And what happened was, I think, I'm no expert, I wasn't there in 1925, but that her defense attorney clearly made the victim look really bad in the press. And so it almost seems justified for him to shoot him if he's such a cad. But also, the attorney for the government, you know, the prosecution, kind of felt like it was an open and shut case. All these people in the ballroom had seen her shoot him. And I think maybe he just didn't really prepare or think that any of the stuff in the press was going to be an issue. But clearly it was. I also see her as being a little bit of a, well, maybe more than a little bit of a chameleon, in that she was Jewish, but she was kind of taking on the trappings of Roman Catholicism. And I guess that maybe that seemed more helpful to her. I don't know if she actually really considered being a nun, or that just came out because they wanted her to make her look even more pure. But there was a big deal about, you know, that she had her rosary with her. I think her rosary was in wrapped in a handkerchief and in one hand, and the gun was wrapped in a handkerchief in the other, and yet, okay, what hand was what in when you tapped him on the shoulder? There was a lot of confusion about that. She couldn't seem to remember when it was to her benefit to not remember. So, but on the other hand, what we have pro for her is that when she was found not guilty, she married an American industrialist named, Roger Sinclair, and came to the United States in 1926. And as far as we know, she was never in any kind of trouble again. So that is kind of a point in her favor. But if you look at all the evidence of the time, it definitely looks bad for her. I don't know if the American industrialist that she had, because with his money he was able to, you know, is it possible he bought her out of any trouble she was in, or she just felt like she had it made. But in any case, she appeared to do well after all this was over. So I wish I knew more, but she definitely seemed kind of like a maybe high-strung character. Her lawyer had built her up in the press as an artist who was very passionate and so forth. Well, I'm an artist, so I can be passionate, but I don't carry around a gun, I don't shoot anybody in a ballroom, so you really can't use that as, that's not a defense. And it can be a crime of passion, it's still a crime. So, she got away with some murder there, and, but that's the way I feel about it. Like I said, in the first place, I thought she shouldn't have taken the law into her own hands, but he was a cad, and he probably brought it on himself. Now I feel like she maybe was very rejection-sensitive and was a person who should have never had a gun. So that's the case of the Perth Ballroom Tragedy.